stop! Hold your fire! Son of a two-silly whore!
That damn old bastard can move fast.
Oh, fuck you, Vernal. What, you couldn't hit a greybeard like that fucker?
Hey, I didn't see you hit him either.
Oh, motherfuck.
I'm feeling a little strange.
The man who spoke simply flew apart, as if a high explosive charge had been placed inside his belly. A puff of gore mist, then chunks, decapitated head, severed arms, ribs, backbone, hurtling in all directions. Before any of the pirates or Sekhmet could recover, the mist had doubled in size and doubled again. The men who were closest to the cliff face were swallowed up by it. Shabazz and the others turned and ran from the advancing face of the mist. Like a tidal wave it came, only insubstantial as smoke. Sleet and hailstones pelted their backs as they fled. This, while blazing sunshine bathed their blood-drained faces. The beast took them as it found them, in ones, in twos, in fives, and it found them quickly. There was no end to its appetite, and the more it ate, the more savage it became. Tendrils of mist tangled running legs. Torsos burst apart like fragrans, showering those fleeing in front with splinters of bone and ruptured bowel. Levi Shabazz's beard was wrapped over his shoulder as he dashed, eyes enormous with terror, arms and legs driving for all he was worth. It came down over his face like a veil, or a hood. Baron Zeal felt a cold touch against his back, and he smelled snow. When Zeal looked around, he saw Vernal, still alive, sitting dazed near the front bumper. Up the road on the other side of the stones, there was nothing left. Not a scrap of man or of clothing. Not so much as a drop of blood on the asphalt.
What the hell is that thing?
I don't know. Those inbred fucks are welcome to it.
What? Aw, shit!
Something was very wrong with Zeal's left leg. There was no feeling in it from hip to foot. It had gone to sleep. Towing it behind him, he pulled himself along the flank of the MCP, and from there to the open door of the second wagon line. He climbed up and into the corridor, and was about to slam the door behind him when Vernal appeared outside and caught his arm.
Wait for me!
It was faster to haul the man inside than to fight to keep him out.
Of course.
Zeal's only desire was to get back to his villainous compound. Whether Spearpoint was here or not, it was out of reach, at least for now, and probably forever.
We're getting the fuck out of here.
Doc continued down the access tunnel, which sloped into the heart of the mountain. Sensors buried in the walls reacted to his footfalls, or perhaps to his body heat, switching on the overhead banks of lights as he descended. A sleeping giant awakening. Doc had not a thought for the unfortunates whom he had left outside the stockpile's doors, not a scrap of pity for those who'd shown so little pity to him. A terrible weight lifted from his shoulders. His spirit was buoyed up by liberty regained. Spearpoint was at least as big as the myth surrounding it claimed it was. A city of cities. Completely uninhabited, of course. For the first 2 weeks after his Matrens jumped to this place, Doc had wandered, completely lost, down its wide avenues, through its housing sectors, its seemingly endless laboratories. His scrambled state of mind certainly contributed to his failure to find his way out of the redoubt. This was due to a combination of the brain damage he'd already suffered from time trawling and the confusion a Matrens jump always brought on. He had talked, he had sang, he had walked with old colleagues debating issues of philosophy and science long since resolved and long since made irrelevant by the nuke cost. He slept when he got tired, on lab tables, on benches, in furniture warehouses, in doorways. After many days of this aimless travel, he finally took notice of the band of different colored stripes on the walls of the corridors. They turned this way and that, following the contours of impossibly long hallways, sometimes breaking off from their fellows to go their own way. He had watched them glide by as he rode on the moving sidewalks, thinking that their only function was decorative. Then, another possibility had occurred to him. It was days more before he found the first map key. It confirmed what he had begun to suspect, that each band of color led in a particular direction to a particular destination. If you knew where you wanted to go, you just followed yellow to lavender, turned right to red, and there you were. It turned out that the map keys were very conveniently located, if you knew where to look and how to operate them. The computer-controlled LCD screens remained black and empty until the command to awake was given. Familiar with the map system from his previous visit, Doc paused at the first intersection he came upon.
Walk straight ahead, turn left at green, make another left at the two purple bands. Easy enough.
He proceeded to an area of machine shops and metal fabrication plants. It took some rooting about in cupboards and tool chests before he found what he was looking for. As everything in the shop was computer-controlled, there wasn't much call for a hacksaw. But the engineers of Spearpoint had packed one, just in case. Once he had freed himself of the ankle manacle, he moved on to the nearest food dispensing area. The food court had been constructed and decorated to look like a Mexican hacienda, with shops featuring different kinds of repasts clustered around a central atrium. There were no humans working there, of course, and during his early wanderings through Spearpoint, that had put Doc sorely off his feed. Burning pangs of hunger had made him accept the automatons, and once he had tasted the food, it didn't matter what served it to him.
Now, where is that ice crematoria? Ah!
The clerk behind the long counter turned to face him. She wore a red gingham apron. Her blonde hair was braided into pigtails. She was remarkably apple-cheeked, but her blue eyes stared at him glassily, like a doll's.
Hi! And what can I get you today?
I'll have a banana split. Double fudge, no pineapple, with two scoops of chocolate, one of vanilla.
And would you like nuts and whipped cream on that?
Yes, and Jimmy's too. Extra Jimmy's.
It took barely a minute for the automaton to prepare his dessert.
Here you are. That'll be $4, please.
Oh, that is absolutely delicious. Thank you so much.
That'll be $4, please.
Hey, put it on my tab.
Doc sat down on a nearby bench and gorged himself. Though the ingredients were more than 100 years old, it tasted so good that he licked the inside of the plastic bowl to get the last of the fudge sauce. When he was done, he dumped the bowl and spoon into a trash receptacle. Feeling completely revived, he found another map key and got directions to the redoubt's mat trans unit. He could have stayed around Spearpoint, of course, and there was a temptation to do just that. But more than endless quantities of food, he wanted fresh air and sunshine. He wanted to stretch his legs and put some miles under his boots. Doc knew he was getting close to the Mattrans unit when he entered a low-ceilinged room lined with row upon row of computers. On the far side of the room was a short hallway, which ended in a familiar-looking open bulkhead door. The moment he shut the door, everything was automatic. The process had begun. A whisper of air started creeping around the ceiling, and he smelled something sharp and electric. The metallic floor plates beneath his feet took on a soft glow, as did the chamber's armaglass walls, which were the color of golden honey. Wisps of cottony mist drifted down from the ceiling and swirled around his face.
Morituri te salutamus.
Got a dust cloud coming our way.
Yeah, been watching it for a while now.
Ryan drove the lead wag in a three-wag daisy chain. The other wags were just like his, stiflingly hot and overloaded with passengers. The one-lane road they traveled was the only improved track leading across a plain of yellow dirt and scrub brush to the blue-tinted mountains in the far distance, mountains where Baron Zeal had taken Traitor in the convoy.
Hey, he's really tearing it up towards us. Think it's one of ours?
Ryan, you still have the scope?
Here.
Thanks. It's... yeah, it's one of ours, all right. A war wag.
Could be Traitor got loose.
Not likely, though.
Yeah. Traitor was in chains, unarmed and outnumbered. The real question is, should we pull off the road, stop and let the war wag pass, or keep moving? I vote for keep moving, right up until the last second. That way, if it's Sekhmen or Shabazz's crew driving, they'll have a lot harder time hitting us with blaster fire.
Sounds like a plan to me.
When the war wag was 100 yards away and closing fast, Ryan could see that the driver's hatch was flipped back and locked in the open position, and that the man at the helm had his head stuck out the vent. When the wag was 50 yards away, Ryan could see that Traitor wasn't driving. The man looked clean-shaved, and his long brown hair whipped in the wind. When the wag was 25 yards away, Ryan could see that it was Zeal at the controls, and from the set expression on his face, that he had no intention of swerving to avoid a head-on collision.
Shit! Is everybody okay?
Yeah. That was the Baron himself. I saw his gaudy slut face.
He seemed in a big hurry.
Maybe he chipped a nail.
Ryan leaned out the window and saw the other two Sekhwags still clinging to the roadway, half on and half off the pavement. The crews waved out the windows to let them know everything was okay. In the distance, the war wag roared on toward Virtue Lake, leaving a yellow tornado in its wake.
Odd.
There were no more dust clouds coming at them. The mountain range grew gradually larger as they approached it. When they got within a half mile of its base, they could see the stolen transport wags, all parked in a line on the desert floor.
Looks like they're abandoned.
Yeah. Keep alert.
A quick check proved Poet to be right.
These are all abandoned and empty. Zeal planned on loading them up with something, that's for sure. Guess he didn't plan well enough.
These wags all look good to go. I've had half our men run these things. We'll get to the top faster when our wags aren't loaded down.
Have they been checked for traps?
Yep. They're clean.
All right, then. Let's go!
Ryan led the short parade through the entrance to the mountain pass. Things looked normal until they reached the third hairpin bend in the road.
Corpses.
Yeah, a lot of them.
These must be why Zeal took our wags.
Ooh, they're kind of a scabby-looking bunch, aren't they?
It must have been triple tough for Zeal to have run away like that.
Hold up. We've got some crap in the road.
Looks like boulders. No way these wags can traverse that. We're getting out.